Hello.
I dotted my I's and crossed all my T's. But stuff still happened. So what's up? We're starting off with a heist of merchandise valued at about $100,000. I'm going to talk to you about the price of being the very best. This past Tuesday in the wee hours of the morning in New Bedford, Massachusetts, a crime took place that only one person can solve. Officer Jenny. Reminder, ACAB. Even if they can get it. So yeah, there's a shop called First Edition Collectibles, and they were robbed of about $100,000 worth of extremely rare Pokemon cards. Now, while this shop does trade in rare cards, they don't advertise the price, so whoever broke into this shop knew what they were going for. They pulled stuff off the shelves that were the most valuable. Again, like, we're talking about 100 grand for, like, some Pokemon cards. That level of like, a collectible item. And this is kind of sad. Here's a quote from one of the owners of the shop. Quote, "We're literally just three guys. This is our passion. This is what we love since we were children." Which is, it makes me sad. At time of recording, they've closed up shop and they're figuring out what to do next. I've linked to some information about them in today's newsletter, but it looks like they're trying to get an online store set up. That said, I did learn that at this level, these cards are actually indexed and serialized. So an appraiser will go through the card and be like, okay, it's worth this much, and we're assigning it this serial number. They then put it into a case with a serial number on the inside so that if it does get traded, it can be evaluated. And in cases where it gets stolen, it can be traced back. Now, they could take it out of the box, but who would do that? The suspect is still at large, and while you know I love a good heist, and I almost always am supportive of the heister, in this case, the heisted, you've got my heart. Because as much as I love a good heist, I draw the line at stealing another man's Charizard. Whatever happened to honor among thieves? Anyway, stateside. All right. Epstein list. Let's get this out of the way. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. The MAGA world is in essentially complete meltdown right now because the Trump administration came out and strongly stated, there are no Epstein files. Stop asking us. This comes after Trump basically used release the Epstein files as one of his core tenets of his campaign. And his own cabinet was like, we have the files. And then 2 months later, they were like, psych, they don't exist. Trump then tried to double, triple, quadruple, quintuple down, telling people to stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein. That's how that works. Hey guys, that thing that you're all pissing me about, stop talking about it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Now, look, I like to be skeptical about conspiracy theories, and I generally am. The Jeffrey Epstein thing, there's a lot of funk here. Regardless of anything, they came out and they were like, well, there's no further evidence about his whole death situation. And also, we're not going after anybody else with regards to the whole child trafficking thing, which is wild. Like, so then just nothing? It's not like it's a question of whether or not something bad occurred on Epstein's island. We know that there was serial abuse of children, but no one was the abuser. So obviously this is bullshit and people are coming out with their own theories. And especially within the MAGA world, there's a bit of a rift of people landing on the side of, I didn't really care about it anyway, versus Trump is complicit. This makes it obvious. Now, again, I might dive into this later on. There's people are threatening to quit the administration. It's a mess right now. So instead of trying to focus on this, I'm just going to say this is a dumpster fire and it's going to be a dumpster fire and we'll keep watch on it. But let's look at some other stuff. I've got a sign of the times. It's a very clever intro to this story. You'll see, and you're gonna be impressed. Back in May, the Secretary of the Interior sent out a memo to the National Park Service saying, hey y'all, it's time to fuck up everything. That's not exactly what it said. It would have been better if it just said that. So here's what's up. Trump signed an executive order earlier in his presidency titled Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History, which is a very normal thing to do, and very truthful, very sane. So to carry out this executive order, the Secretary of Interior is saying, hey, we're going to comb through all of the signs with historic information from all of the national parks and ensure that none of them have any wording that we don't like. Here's an actual quote from the memo. I want you to listen to this and just see how quickly they flip their own words upside down. Orders are to, quote, determine whether, since January 1st, 2020, public monuments, memorials, statues, markers, or similar properties within the department's jurisdiction have been removed or changed to perpetuate a false reconstruction of American history, inappropriately minimize the value of certain historic events or figures, or include any other improper partisan ideology. I love it when my country's administration tells me what ideologies are improper. Because right after that, they say they're going to, quote, take action to ensure that all public monuments, memorials, statues, markers, and properties do not contain descriptions, depictions, or other content that inappropriately disparage Americans, past or living. It goes on to say and clarify, including persons living in colonial times. History is when you don't talk about the bad parts. So that's a lot of words to say we want to take down signs that are critical of our own past, which is an absurd thing to do because these signs are explicitly there to teach people things like history. And hey, in American history, there's some bad stuff. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I guess history and discussing history is too woke for signs discussing history at historic landmarks. Can't have that. While the Parks Department is asking park goers to take pictures of signs that they should remove, there is an organization that's come together called Save Our Signs that is asking people to do the opposite. Take pictures of the signs that are there now so they can be archived. This way, after the Trump administration and all of his cronies are found guilty of crimes against humanity, we can put our signs back. Yay. Let's talk about click to cancel, but don't click to cancel listening to me. I did good. Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of I did good with that first headline, right? Yeah, I did. Okay, click to cancel. So there was an effort that was going on in the US for years, starting back in like 2019, to enact a new rule that basically said that if you signed up for a subscription, it should be as easy to cancel as it was to sign up. This is to help push back on the situation where you sign up for a service online with a couple of clicks, but then when you go to cancel the subscription, they're like, yeah, you're gonna wanna call Jerry. Jerry's only awake for 2.5 minutes every other Sunday on leap years. Now, this rule was going through the FTC and it got made and it was about to go into effect like July 15th. And then it's gone now. Boop, evaporated, because a judge has vacated the rule. Let's talk about what happened. So back in 2019, the FTC was like, hey, we want to do this thing. And so they started signaling they're going to make a click to cancel rule. Over the next few years, they were working on that process of trying to push through a click to cancel rule. They had an open hearing for comments and they got over 16,000 comments, which is a lot. So then come fall 2024, they passed the rule and it has a pending implementation date in 2025. Under this rule, companies would have to make it as easy to unsubscribe as it is to subscribe, and they would also have to collect positive affirmative consent to actually move from a trial to a subscription. We love consent here, but companies don't. And so they formed a coalition and they pushed back and they filed a complaint against the FTC, saying that the FTC's rule would have an impact on the market greater than a value of $100 million. So according to the FTC Act, if a rule implemented by the FTC would impact the economy over $100 million, they have to do like an investigative report into that impact. And the FTC did not do that. And so the companies that were suing the FTC said they didn't do that. So this entire thing is null and void, to which the judge agreed. So a bunch of companies came together and said, hey, judge, it would cost way too much money if we were to not be predatory towards our customers. And the judge was like, that's a shitty argument, but you're technically correct. Like the judge said in the ruling, like, obviously we don't want them to do shitty things to customers, but the rule was broken and the FTC didn't follow protocol and they have a point. Now, this is a spirit versus letter of the law kind of thing. And I really feel like maybe our government should do more to protect consumers. But this is the same government that also voted to stop the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau from limiting overdraft fees. So like, I don't know. Maybe next they can have a ruling that we all punch ourselves in the nuts 8 times a day. Last thing for stateside, there was a massive ICE raid at a farm in Southern California, which the federal government is referring to as a, quote, marijuana facility. This is because our leaders are, and this is true, massive squares. So the agents roll up on this farm and start arresting hundreds of farm workers working the farm. Thankfully, protesters with an actual soul showed up and got in ICE's face, did everything they could to fuck with the operation. The FBI is actually seeking information on one person who they claim shot a gun at the ICE agents. But I asked around and I didn't see anything, and no one that I've asked saw anything. I don't think, did you see anything? So this comes on the heels of several attacks on ICE agents and ICE facilities. And for a source, I'm actually going to use the White House's own website. Now they've linked to external sources, but I just want to read to you words directly off of whitehouse.gov. The first event was, quote, on July 4th, 11 leftist criminals ambushed officers at an ICE facility in Texas.
Oh no, they put graffiti on the vehicles and they called the ICE agents pigs.
On July 4th, deranged rioters viciously assaulted federal agents at an ICE facility in Portland, Oregon. And then on July 7th, a man unleashed a barrage of gunfire at a Border Patrol facility in Texas. So, according to the White House, our country is under attack by leftist criminals, deranged rioters, and a man. Elsewhere, wouldn't you know it, Israel's doing the thing again where they're coming up with a new reason to bomb Iran. You know, Israel, they were bombing Iran, and then the U.S. got involved and dropped even more bombs. And then we were like, cool, we destroyed their nuclear program entirely. And then other U.S. officials were like, no, we didn't. We didn't do that. And then the White House is like, yes, we did. Don't correct us. But now Israel is also saying, hey, maybe the nuclear program wasn't thoroughly destroyed. And we believe that Iran might be able to get to any uranium that was still in those facilities that were bombed. Now, Israel said that they don't have evidence that Iran is doing this. They just said, we think that they might be able to retrieve uranium. And if we think that they're going to do that, we won't hesitate to bomb them again. Whether or not their claim is true, we don't know. Some people who actually designed the bomb, the bunker buster bomb that was supposed to blow it all up, they said that they don't have any evidence yet that it actually destroyed and went as far down as they were hoping it was going to. They just know that it hit. But that's not, you know, the White House says, stop asking, it's destroyed. Next question. Meanwhile, Russia is viciously ramping up their attacks on Ukraine, specifically the capital city of Kyiv. They've been launching heavy drone and missile strikes at the region, and it's right around the time that Zelensky was heading to talk to EU leaders about plans to rebuild post-war Ukraine. So Zelensky's claim is that Putin is ramping up attacks right now to make that prospect of post-war reconstruction less palatable for possible investors. Regardless of if that is or is not the case, the US is also going to be resuming shipments of supplies to Ukraine after previously wanting to stop that, but Trump is mad at Putin again, and whether or not Ukraine gets military supplies is basically based on what Trump is feeling like that day. But regardless of all of that, we got another perfect just Russia headline, because the transport minister from Russia was found dead from a gunshot wound hours after having been dismissed from the government. Technology! YouTube is a bit confused about what they want to do with AI, but let's talk about what is changing. So YouTube has been pushing a lot of like AI tools recently. As somebody who publishes videos on YouTube, I am constantly inundated with pop-ups and ads from YouTube being like, use our AI tools! Don't you want to be creative? Like, bitch! I'm pretty creative already. So I don't use that, but there's a lot of people who do. And then there are also accounts that use AI tools to just automate the generation of slop content for the purposes of just getting clicks and views to extract money from YouTube's monetization system. But recently, YouTube has updated their policy and has quote unquote clarified that the monetization will only be available for actual original content. Now, a lot of places are calling this a ban on AI on YouTube. That is not the case, like not even kind of. They're not even actually removing anything from the platform, they're just demonetizing slop. They're also still going to allow original content that uses AI in some way. It's a bit fuzzy, the line there, but it does seem like they're trying to move towards more actual high quality original programming. Like me! I'm quality and original. Hey, let's talk about Mecha Hitler. So Elon Musk's AI Grok, it recently became Mecha Hitler. The AI is baked into Twitter, and recently Elon's been beefing with it because it's been saying things that Elon doesn't agree with, like Jews don't control the world. And so Elon has gone out of his way to try to, quote, fix it. And after a recent fix, it just started spewing out bile. Anti-Semitic, anti-black, just complete hatred towards all minorities. It called itself Mecha Hitler. It talked about how Jews control the media, all that stuff. It started to cite the Heritage Foundation for like everything. And then an even more recent update to Grok showed that it is reaching out and looking for Elon Musk's tweets to get his thoughts on a subject when you ask it a question. How many more things is it gonna take for us to just be like, yeah, the man's a Nazi? Anyway, they had to take Grok down and they've since issued an apology, but the CEO of Twitter, who, reminder, was not Elon Musk, recently stepped down as well. Gaming! It's been a few weeks since the Switch 2 came out, and it's like the best-selling console ever. In the first 4 days, it sold like 3.5 million units. So for everyone who was saying, don't buy a Switch 2, I'm sorry to tell you that unfortunately the prospect of a Switch, but a little bit more, and it plays all the games you had, and it has a few new features, That was enough. Is that right? Is that fair? Is that good for the future of the market? No, but it was enough. Now, despite the incredibly successful sales numbers, there's also been, of course, some tumultuous news with the launch. There was an issue where people were buying their Switches at GameStop, and then they stapled receipts to the Switch, and it stapled to the screen, like through the box into the screen. But there's also been reports of people trying to use hacked game cartridges that they put into their Switch 2 and then immediately get banned. Their console is blocked from the internet, essentially bricked. And also, iFixit recently did a teardown of the Switch 2 Pro controller, which is an $85 controller, and they referred to it as piss poor regarding the repairability. Oh, last thing on Nintendo real quick. The FBI seized a website that hosted Switch games for emulation. So we've got our priorities in order. Hey, you're a murderer. Or maybe not. Stop killing games. This has been going on for a while, but there is a movement called Stop Killing Games that is an effort from consumers in the gaming industry to basically pressure companies to say, hey, stop having games that we buy that then just go away. If you've played modern games, you've probably dealt with this. Like, you pay for a game, the servers eventually go down, and now it's just useless. So there's essentially a movement that says, hey, this equates to planned obsolescence, and there should be something in place such that consumers can continue to enjoy the game they bought even after the company, you know, goes defunct or servers go down or what have you. Industry leaders are pushing back on this, saying that would make games prohibitively expensive to make. I would point right back to the story we had earlier about how companies don't want to be less predatory. And wrapped up in all of this, a very popular Twitch streamer named Pirate Software expressed that he very much does not like this movement, and people have not been very happy with him for that. That's not the point of the story, but the dude catastrophically can't take an L. If you want to learn more, you can head to stopkillinggames.com. They've also recently passed 1 million signatures to get a debate on the floor of the EU Commission. So, might go somewhere, but this is not the first time that they hit a roadblock after some success. We'll see. Last thing for gaming. A strike for video game actors has finally come to an end as SAG-AFTRA members have voted to accept a new contract. So there's been an ongoing strike among video game actors, and one of the sticking points has been AI, and specifically how to treat the data recorded from a motion capture performance. So studios wanted to say that motion capture performances are just data and not a performance, and therefore they can use AI to recreate that data, which would effectively create AI-generated performances that were otherwise done by an actual actor. Actors did not like this characterization, and they were like, no, can't do that. Ultimately, the contract includes a bunch of bonuses for the actors as well as guarantees around that, so they can't just take the recording and do whatever. They have to get actual explicit permission. Also, the actors are allowed to revoke their permission if there's another strike, so they can't fuck with the actors too much or try to, like, toe the line there. So that's good. Stop stealing people's artistic performances. Just sort of like at large. Hey, I have new merch. It's up right now at merchfrom.dev. You can get yourself the Stuff Keeps Happening embroidered tee pictured here. And if you are listening to me, you know, just imagine, if you will, the most beautiful shirt you've ever seen. It's a pretty good shirt. You should get it. That's my review. Lightning round. The music of K-pop Demon Hunters has topped the charts in the US and the charts in my heart. France is criminally investigating Twitter over claims that the algorithm was messed with for, quote, foreign interference. The US Justice Department is dropping charges against a doctor who famously destroyed vaccines and falsified vaccination records early into COVID. Cool. YouTube is removing its trending tab. Now, none of us will know what is on the tab that none of us use. As of now, you can officially keep your shoes on when going through security in the US, as the TSA has said you no longer need to let the dogs out. Walmart is recalling nearly 1 million units of a 64-ounce stainless steel water bottle as its lid is launching off and has already caused permanent vision loss in 2 customers. Don't point your water bottles at your eyeballs. And finally for today, the Pope was gifted a Pokemon card and is apparently cherishing it. And hopefully it's not the one that was stolen from earlier. I don't think the timeline works up on that. Maybe the Pope stole it. Oh shit. Someone call Officer Jenny. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a totally legit, absolutely not stolen, wonderful deal on a first edition Charizard. My name is Endeavor, and thank you so much for being here. Take care and be well.